let's pick the thoughts of energy expert and executive director of the Kumasi Institute of Technology and Environment, KITE, Ishmael Ejekumhene, who has joined us live. Good afternoon, Mr. Ejekumhene.
Afternoon, sir.
Now, what is your understanding of the exchanges that took place last night between the energy minister designate and some members of the Parliamentary Appointments Committee regarding a supposed floating storage regasification unit?
Well, I'm not too sure whether we're talking about exchanges or we're talking about the technicalities of what they're talking about. I mean, as for the exchanges, we all saw, or I didn't watch it, but I've seen some videos of some of the exchanges. And I think it has to do with what he's alleged to have said in a press conference. I don't think it was too necessary the way they dragged the issue and contributed to delaying the whole process. But if truly he had made an allegation, then that allegation ought to be substantiated.
Right. Now, let's get to the FSRU, Floating Storage Regasification Unit. What is the significance of such a unit to our gas agenda?
It's such an important infrastructure that we've all been clamoring for some time now. Basically, it's a facility that it will be floating on the sea, offshore. There are two types. One is you build it onshore, which becomes like a port, but this one is a floating facility which will be on the sea, somewhere in the sea, and basically we'll be importing what we call LNG, liquefied natural gas. You see, it's gas, but under some temperature, you can turn it into liquid. And then it allows you to transport it with tankers, okay? Unlike crude oil, you can only transport, you can't transport the gas, but you can transport the LNG. When you freeze the gas to a certain temperature, it turns into liquid, and then they put it on the tanker, and then they bring it, and then they regasify. Regasify means basically turning back into gas. And we know that we've been struggling with gas from Nigeria, and our own affordable gas is also not sufficient. So we've been clamoring for it. It allows us to import gas in liquid form, and then we turn it back into gas and use it in our power plant.
I see. So that's quite an important unit that we need. But already some critics are saying that Mr. Ejiakou distinguished himself. Now, does this signal something positive for the energy ministry?
Well, I think the way he's conducted himself even before he was nominated, as an energy person, when he speaks, you could hear that he understands the issue. We only hope that now, if he's confirmed, he'll be able to translate some of the ideas we heard him talk about when he was in opposition into action. So on the face of what I've heard him said, and also the background in finance and the fact that we need to be restructuring a lot of the legacy debt in the energy sector, I want to believe that he can be a good minister of energy. But the thing is not to pretend that he knows everything, because I believe there are some people in the Ministry of Energy, a lot of experience in there that he can tap into and make use of it so that we can all move the sector forward.
Let me put this question to you. What will you want Mr. Ejiakou to do immediately? What would he have to tackle immediately in the energy sector if he should get the nod?
Well, I think his basic and his primary preoccupation will be to ensure that we don't get back into doing so, given that there are signals that if the Atwabo plant is shut down, we might have some challenges. Already, there is some deficit. If you look at the daily report on Greek Code, there are deficits that we are now filling through imports from Cote d'Ivoire. And also, we having to run all the units in Akosombo at the moment. So I think his primary preoccupation in the first 6 months will be to ensure that we have adequate supply of light crude oil to at least keep the system running until the Atwabo plant is restored. If he doesn't do that, he might be met with the do so within the first 3 months of his office.
away from Parliament, we've just heard that the CEO of the Ghana Gas has quit. What can you tell us about the man's contribution to the generation of gas in Ghana?
I missed the last part of your question.
Yeah, I'm saying that Mr. George Sipayanki, the CEO of Ghana Gas, has quit.
Yeah.
He might have left a legacy, definitely. What do you think that legacy would be, and as far as generation of gas in Ghana is concerned?
Well, I think the fact that he presided over the construction of the Atuabo gas processing plant, that alone is something that we can always remember him by. It's such another important infrastructure that he presided over its construction, and the fact that it's now giving us not just lean gas, but we're also getting about 50% of the LPG we consume in Ghana is coming from the Atuabo gas processing plant. So in that sense, it's something that he'll always be remembered by.
We have to thank you very much, Mr. Ishmael Ejekumhene, Executive Director of the Kumasi Institute of Technology and Environment. We appreciate